What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Looking at some data on the drop-off between the governor's race here in North Carolina between the Democrats and the Republicans, the erosion that occurs, you know, people who go in and they vote for governor and then leave. And there was a whole bunch of them that did that in the Republican primary, but not the Democrat primary. Democrats only saw about 10,000 voters walk out of the voting booth after casting a vote for governor, whereas Republicans saw almost 100,000, 10 times the number. That's a concern, because that could mean that there was an Operation Chaos going on, that unaffiliated on the left went and voted maybe for Nikki Haley and for Mark Robinson. So this actually raises a question, because if you like Mark Robinson, that's fine. And I like Mark Robinson. But if you like him and you want him to be the nominee, fantastic. And I know it's very easy to say, oh, this is groundswell of support. But what if there was an Operation Chaos that was just done to get Mark Robinson to be the nominee? Does that concern you that Democrats believe he's the easiest one they can beat? Are you letting Democrats pick the candidate, even if it happens to be the one you like? You know? All right, so we played Robinson's victory speech last night. We do have Josh Stein's speech as well. And you're going to hear, this is going to be the whole campaign in this speech. You're going to hear the entire next, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Now you got 9 months. This is what it's going to sound like.
Friends, we are just getting started.
And by the way, he is reading off of some prepared notes.
I also want to thank Justice Mike Morgan and the other candidates in this race for their service to the state and our people. I am grateful to all the elected officials, community leaders, and organizations that are already an integral part of our team. But most importantly, I want to thank you, all the North Carolinians who participated in today's election. Today, we took an important first step. But we must be clear-eyed about the stakes of this election. We're at a crossroads, and the choice before us, two competing visions for North Carolina. Mark Robinson's vision is bleak and divisive, consumed by spite and hate. He spends time pitting people against each other. Let me tell you a bit about Mark Robinson's disturbing agenda. Urging parents to abandon our public schools, vilifying all kinds of people, including public school teachers, women, LGBTQ North Carolinians, glorifying violence against political opponents, opposing health care coverage for working families, promoting conspiracy theories, and stripping women of their reproductive freedoms. Robinson wants a total ban on abortion with no exceptions, not for rape, not for incest, not for the life or health of the mother.
By the way, I welcome Josh Stein talking about the abortion topic. If media is going to ask him, when do we put the cap on it? When are abortions no longer allowed? Is it up until birth? Like, as long as media is going to ask him just as tough the questions as they're going to ask Mark Robinson, I welcome the debate. The problem is media never asks the Democrats what the limiting principles are. I know, but it's true.
Robinson would insert himself into the doctor's office with women and dictate to them what they must do with their bodies.
This is all boilerplate Democrat talking.
That Robinson's extreme views would scare away business and good-paying jobs. We've been down this road before here. HB 2, the bathroom bill, and it is a dead end. It cost us billions of dollars in economic activity. Instead of waging job-killing culture wars, let's grow the economy.
By the way, the reason why it cost all the money was because Roy Cooper, wanting to win the governor's race 8 years ago, made phone calls to business leaders and extorted them, basically. Like, leaned on them and said, don't you make that announcement. You know, I need to win this race. You need to bail on your plans to move here. Right? He applied pressure, and he then also pressured fellow Democrats in the legislature not to go along with any kind of, quote, fix either. So he was squeezing McCrory on sort of both ends. Like, don't let him fix it. Don't let him change it. Meanwhile, raising money and getting people agitated and boycotting the state. That was Roy Cooper that did that against the service industry workers that lost out on conventions and stuff, the NBA All-Star, all of that. Right, that was Roy Cooper that did that. And then everybody just forgave him because, you know, Democrat.
Yeah.
I know. It's true.
My vision for North Carolina is forward-looking and inclusive. It would harness the talents of all of our people so that we can build a North Carolina that is safer and stronger, rooted in our shared values of freedom and opportunity for every person. I'm running for governor because I love North Carolina and I believe in its promise.
By the way, did you notice that nobody cheered for the part where he said that our we're rooted in freedom? Did you notice that? He is talking to Democrats, so I mean, it does make sense that they would not cheer that.
That if you work hard, where you come from should never limit how far you can go.
By the way, he's going to start sounding here an awful lot like Barack
that
Obama in 2008 when Obama was sounding like a Reagan Republican. Right? This is going to be the message. He's going to drop in the buzzwords of inclusivity and all of that, but he's now going to start making this appeal to your Reagan Democrat type of voters. I don't know if they're going to buy it, but it's the same play that Obama made.
Children and grandchildren should enjoy a better and brighter future than we've had. That every North Carolinian has a fair shot at prosperity, getting a good paying job or starting a small business anywhere in this state, including small town North Carolina.
Woo. Woo. Woo.
So we must build this economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not the top down.
Oh, there
that
you go.
That's how we grow the middle class.
Classic Democrat talking
the
point.
The rising cost of housing, gas, groceries.
Yeah, Bidenomics
medicine,
sucks.
And other basic needs is making life too expensive for too many families. As Attorney General, I have fought against price gougers
and
predatory corporations that exploit North Carolinians.
That's not why gas
and
is high.
As your governor, I will keep working to lower costs, raise the minimum wage, and cut taxes for working families.
See? He sounds like a Republican here.
Our top priority must be educating our kids. Yet year in and year out, the Republican General Assembly is failing them, dropping North Carolina to 49th in the country, and what we invest in K-12 as a share of our state's economy, 46th in starting teacher pay, worse than every neighboring state.
By the way, when the average teacher pay went up and it was in like the 20s, the same Democrats said that you can't use that to compare states anymore. But then when the number went back down, because other states raised theirs, right? Then our number went back down. And by the way, these come from the teachers union. Then now we can use the stat again, because now it makes them look bad. And by the way, it doesn't include the local supplemental funding.
It is a disgrace.
Oh, man, the delivery.
That's why, as your attorney general, I have fought to fully fund our public schools and have a strong teacher in every classroom and a strong principal in every school.
Woot, woot, woot. I don't know if they paid the woot section there or what, but they are wooting on everything. Woot, woot. All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. I got a message from Joseph who says, I'm a cynical guy and even I liked Mark Robinson's speech. Seeing the attack tactics from Stein, a.k.a. Little Roy, or Little Ray, would it be, is going to be interesting, right? Well, you're getting a taste of it here in the speech from Josh Stein. Let's resume. We're not going to be able to cover it all.
As your next governor, I will work to ensure that our schools are the best that they can be. To strengthen career and technical education and apprenticeship programs, because a person should not have to go to college in order to provide for his or her family.
There's the play for the blue-collar workers.
And to support our educators, because it is past time that they got a real raise.
Teachers union, represent.
No one should have to worry about their children's safety when they're at school or online, or their loved ones when they're at work or at worship. As Attorney General, my office has prosecuted and convicted murderers, rapists, child sex abusers, and drug traffickers. I've worked across the aisle to keep you safe, partnering with Republicans and Democrats to fight the opioid epidemic, protect kids from child sex abuse, improve our criminal justice system, and eliminate the largest rape kit backlog in the entire nation.
Wait, I thought Ray Cooper did that when he was Attorney General. I mean, that's what he said he did. I've never really understood this. How is it that Roy Cooper could claim that he got rid of the rape kit backlog when he was Attorney General during his run against Pat McCrory? But then Josh Stein got into office, and then he ran for re-election, and now he just says it again that he got rid of the biggest backlog in the rape kits. How does that happen? Was there like another backlog that happened? Like somehow between, oh, you know what happened? I bet it was like in the transition when Roy became governor, and then Josh became AG. There may have been like, I don't know, an hour between the swearing in ceremonies or something. And then all of the rape kits came in. And so then there became this massive backlog. Is that what happened? Very confusing. All very confusing. Got a message also on. Hang on. Well, here, I'll just play more of his. I'll get to the message in a second.
As governor, I will continue to tackle violent crime, confront the fentanyl crisis, and work to recruit and retain well-trained law enforcement officers. It is all about protecting you and your families. Every North Carolina.
You hear that? One person. are we clapping now? No. Dang it. Gary says that's the first time he had heard Robinson say that Stein hasn't worked or had a boss tell them that they were moving their plant. Anybody who's been in North Carolina before 2000 remembers textiles and furniture were giants in this state. Then there was another message here on, Gary says, I think people are tired of the woke nonsense. Catherine Truitt, superintendent, did not seem eager to fight that battle. And that Robinson may be the most authentic politician he's ever heard. And these speeches are very different. Stein talks about Robinson, and Robinson speaks about his history. Stein knows that his silver spoon background is not a winner. What happens if Robinson flips 20 to 40% of black male voters alone? North Carolina may look very different. Dems are scared, I believe. Well, we're going to find out. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency in Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? I want to welcome to the program Dr. Christopher Cooper. He is the Madison Distinguished Professor of Political Science and Public Affairs and the Director of the Hare Institute for Public Policy at Western Carolina University and also a Winthrop University alum. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I appreciate you making some time for us.
Of course.
I know you're busy. You seem to be everywhere. I see you're getting quoted now like all over the place. Do you actually teach any classes anymore?
I do.
Okay.
We are in spring break, so I'm not teaching any classes today. Yes, normally I do.
Well, that makes sense then. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Alrighty, so let's start general. What were your initial reactions? Anything surprising to you, I think, probably besides a superintendent race?
I mean, superintendent was interesting. Just in general, did it seem like, look, the MAGA wing of the Republican Party had a great night, kind of front to back. So you took these establishment people that were in the North Carolina General Assembly slowly moving their way up, right? Your John Hardesters, your Deanna Ballards, your Gray Mills, mm-hmm. people like that, John Bradford, they didn't win. And it seemed to be a pretty consistent trend. So for the MAGA wearing base of the Republican Party, well done. It was a really good night for them. It was a bad night to be an establishment Republican. And after a second, we can talk about the bad night for the establishment, more conservative Democrats who also got whooped up on.
Right. So, and this goes to the number of unaffiliated voters that chose Republican ballots. This question that I've got, because I don't know what to make of it.
Sure.
I think this was the first time that that's ever happened, right? That there have been more Republicans asking in the early voting for these ballots. But even so, the amount of, it's like a 2-to-1 margin. And the question that I've got, and nobody can really answer it, I think, is was this sort of an Operation Chaos deal like Rush Limbaugh wanted to do against Hillary Clinton, sending Republicans to go vote in a primary to get her to be the nominee? Is that something that because we've seen similar efforts? Remember Chris Anglin, the judge, right? So this kind of thing has occurred before. Is that possible here?
Yeah, one I would add to that, too, you know well, the curious case of Madison Cawthorn there mm-hmm. in the western part of the state.
But right.
I don't think that's really what happened here. I mean, to sort of buy that, you'd have to think that all these unaffiliated folks who lean left got in the Republican primary and said, you know what, I'm really kind of a fan of the more extreme candidate. I just think it's unlikely. And the state superintendent race, if that's the one they were aiming at, it seems like an odd one to point to. And if that were the case, it's also pretty naive, because I'm not convinced that these candidates won't win in the general. I'm not saying they will, but I certainly don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they won't. So I don't think that's it. I think the reality may just be that the unaffiliated who chose the Republican ballot this time tended to lean a little farther right, right? Just because you're unaffiliated, as you know well, doesn't mean you're necessarily independent. So which unaffiliated is the key question? And until the more granular data are released, we're just not going to know the answer.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean it like they're voting for people that they want to see win. They're voting for people that they want to beat, that they think are easier to beat, right, in the general election.
And
I don't know if they're right about that.
Yeah, I don't. If that were the plan, again, I don't think that was it. I think they chose very badly because I think, you know, as you're implying, these candidates might very well win. It's a competitive statewide environment, and if you've got a D or an R next to your name, your odds of winning are pretty close to 50%, kind of regardless of who you are. So if that was the plan, the Democrats sure blew it. I don't think that was the plan this time, as opposed to Anglin, as opposed to Cawthorn, where that absolutely was the plan.
Yeah. All right, so let's look over at the Democrat side. We had a couple of state lawmakers in the House and the Senate. I think there were a total of four of them. Two of them made it, two of them did not, although the one of them that made it barely made it by like 40 votes or something. So very, very close. These were Democrats that voted with Republicans a bit too often for the progressive base, I guess, or activist base, grassroots base of the Democrat Party. So what do you make of that?
So Michael Ray and Cecil Brockman were the two that everybody was looking at. Those were fascinating races, right? So you've got Ray and Brockman, both in the General Assembly, both Democrats, being supported by Republicans while the Democrats were supporting their challengers. Wrap your head around that one. It takes me a while, right? It's just this really strange situation. So in the end, Brockman squeaked it out. Ray lost. And then you add to that that Mike Woodard in Durham, who doesn't have a particularly conservative voting record. He's just a little more kind of collegial, I think, with Republicans. He was voted out, too, after he'd already lost the Durham mayor's race just a few months ago. So they whacked him down twice. I mean, I think both parties are sending a pretty clear signal. This may be a somewhat purple state, but we're not going to get candidates that look anywhere in the ballpark of purple on the Republican side or the Democratic side, and the parties are going to make sure that stays the case.
We've been playing the audio of the victory speeches from Mark Robinson and from Josh Stein. I thought Robinson's speech was good. If he sticks to what he did last night, I think that's probably a more of a winning strategy, talking about his background and his his connection with the working people of the state, and getting told that you had your job moved overseas, that kind of thing, and highlighting that Josh Stein's probably never had that in his background. And Stein kind of runs through the bullet points there in his speech last night, and of course talking about the inflammatory comments and the abortion issue, and I think that's going to be the template for the next 9 months.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you agree, I guess. Okay.
No, absolutely. Yes. Stein is going to talk about three policy issues: abortion, abortion, and abortion. And then he's going to add to those, kind of almost like he's running the old strategy against Barry Goldwater, right? He's going to be saying, implying essentially, this guy's nuts. Don't vote for him. And the challenge for Robinson and for Robinson's team, I think, is going to be to let him be Mark Robinson, but not let him go unscripted too often. I mean, he does get himself into some trouble. It reminds me a lot of Trump. I don't think we're going to get a debate, I'm guessing, between Stein and Robinson. I imagine they're not. Robinson's folks aren't going to let him debate. We'll see if I'm wrong on that. And so it'll be an attempt to script him as much as they can while still letting him be the dynamic speaker that he is, let's be honest.
Did you watch any of that or follow any of what happened with the Mecklenburg County Commissioner, Pat Cotham, Trisha's mom? What do you make of that? It looks to me like Democrats went after her for the sins of her daughter.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question that that's what happened. You can even sort of watch the spike in the ball on Twitter or X or whatever his Muskinist wants us to call it today by the Democrats on that. I mean, it's pretty clear they couldn't get Trisha Cotham yet, and they went after her mom. I think a piece of it is that she has sort of stayed as a, somewhat conservative for a Democrat. I mean, definitely a Democrat, definitely a liberal establishment, but she's by no means one of the more progressive people. Nobody's confusing her with AOC. So maybe it's that the county moved more than she did, but no, I think the simplest explanation is the right one. They wanted to get Trisha Cotham as many different ways as they could. Another Cotham was just fine to take out.
Yeah. Dr. Chris Cooper from Western Carolina University, thank you very much for your time today. I do appreciate it. Good to talk with you, and safe travels to you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
You all too, right, brother. See you. Let's go to the phones here. John, welcome to the program. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm well, Pete. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Going back to your previous conversation with Dr. Cooper, I believe it was,
yeah,
where you were talking about the unaffiliated voters and why they were kind of leaning Republican to go around. I am one of those unaffiliated voters. A little bit of history. If you go back to the 2020 election, I was registered Republican. But after that election, I changed to unaffiliated. And a couple of reasons for that. One was, I got to be honest, looking at social media and, you know, the environment at the time, I kind of felt targeted. So a little bit of fear, maybe. And then the other reason is I kind of felt like the Republican Party was not sort of representative of where I was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a bit of a revolt on my part. Obviously, mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for all the others that are unaffiliated, but, you know, that was my experience and why.
Right. Well, I'm unaffiliated. I've been unaffiliated for 20-something years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally get why people become unaffiliated, especially in a state like North Carolina with the open primaries, because you get to pick. And I have voted in Democrat primaries because living in Charlotte and then living in Asheville, you don't have any options. If you are a registered Republican, you don't get to vote in any primaries for like 3 years in a row until finally the presidential race comes around, and then you get to vote in like that one primary. So, if you want to have any kind of, you know, impact on your local elections, it does kind of make sense to become an unaffiliated voter. But like the question I've got is on the amount of Republican ballots that unaffiliated took in this primary versus other years. That's what was so unusual yesterday and in early voting, that so many unaffiliateds broke for the Republican ballots versus in years past. Now, is that so? What that could mean is it indicative of anger and a, quote, red wave that's coming in November? Or is it indicative of, Operation Chaos, or, you know, lefties that were going in to the Republican primaries and trying to, you know, advance the worst candidates possible?
Yeah, no, I understand that. And in my case, it was the former.
Right.
I'm a conservative voter and have always been. And so I would have voted in the Republican, you know, on the Republican ballot anyways.
Right.
Just this go around, I was unaffiliated voting for, you know, on the Republican ballot.
Right.
And like you mentioned a minute ago, North Carolina allows you to be unaffiliated and vote for either Democrat or Republican. That was a big criteria for me. I would have stayed as a Republican if I could not have voted in the Republican primary as unaffiliated. So that was a deal breaker, or that would have been a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Cause, yeah. If they close the party primaries, then there's no benefit to being unaffiliated. Totally agree.
Right.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. No, there's very little downside, right? Unless you are wanting to get involved in politics, right, and be a member of the party, go to the precinct meetings, and look, all of that is important work for those organizations. But there is a reason why North Carolina, the number one voter registration, is unaffiliated now. They surpassed Democrats like a year or so ago, right? Democrats still lead Republicans, although Republicans have been picking up more registered voters, whereas Democrats keep losing them. And part of that is, I've been saying this for years, since Trump came on the scene, there is a realignment of the political parties. It takes a while to happen. That's what we're seeing. We're also seeing migration patterns change in North Carolina, right, where people are fleeing these blue states. They're coming here. And our fears were always, oh, my gosh, you know, these lefties are coming here. And to be sure, some of them are. But a lot of them are Republicans that are so fed up with their blue states that they're leaving those blue states. And they come here and they register as Republicans because that's what they were. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.